Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's right. We are riding with the king here on this Thursday night. Welcome on in. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin here for the 6 o'clock hour, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Howard, how you doing tonight?
I've never had a bad day in my life. Just another fine day and that fine streak. Yeah, it's a hell of a streak.
The fine days? The no bad day streak?
Yeah, right.
Pretty good one.
Kick Seth Joyner's ass, so it was a nice week.
Yeah, you've had quite a week on Twitter here, Howard.
Twitter. Not social and it's not media.
No, but
and
it's
I
something.
Don't treat it like that.
But at Howard Eskin always says a lot to say. All right, we'll get to your feud with Seth Joyner. I need to get the banana pudding update with Golden Tate, and we will. And you do have some new info for us on Markelle Fultz. That's coming.
Real info.
Yeah,
not just speculation info. This is real info.
All right, so we'll get to the real info, the newest info we have here on Markelle Fultz and everything going on with him and the Sixers. Howard, I want to start, and yes, before the show is over, you can have your fun, and you could say goodbye to Carlos Santana, who was traded away by the Phillies the other day.
Are you in mourning?
I'm all right.
Yeah, but you thought he was, agreed with Matt Klentak that he was a star.
That's not true. I said the same thing for 6 months, and everyone yelled at me. I said he's a good player. He's a good player.
No, he's
a good player.
Okay.
He's a good player, and he'll be good for someone else. But I'll mourn him later. I want to start with the Eagles, Howard. I want to start with the week. It's Cowboy week. People have put this in a lot of different ways this week, Howard, because there's still three games after this, and they can still get to 9-7. None of that stuff feels like it matters. If they win Sunday, this is the season on Sunday, Howard, for all intents and purposes. If they win this game, they have a really good chance to get back to the playoffs. It's in front of them. If they lose this game, they don't. And, Howard, I feel better about this game as the week goes along. I feel better about the spot they're in because I think the Eagles. That was encouraging, Howard, Monday night. The way they played and the way Carson moved around and through and the offensive line. I feel good about the Eagles right now.
I feel really good about this game. And sometimes, I get a feel. Doesn't mean that I'm always right. But I think when I get that kind of feel, I'm usually right. Just the feeling. And you don't necessarily get that from being around the players. But I will say this. They really, sometimes you can notice a sense of relaxation and feeling good. Although most players, you know, they come in, they do their job, they go to the meetings, they do whatever. But you see them in the locker room, and it's Gruje Hill, for whatever you think about it, felt good. Now you want other guys to feel good, but I think they feel good. And Carson, that's a good point. He's more comfortable in the things that he's doing. Now, he didn't make some throws, and he made a bad throw.
Yeah, the red zone throw was a bad throw.
Yeah, and the one that he didn't get to Aguilar.
Missed him.
So they left some points on the field, and they understand that. But he just the way he's throwing the football, I think there's no question he's feeling it. And sometimes when you don't have to think about it, and I don't know that he does or he doesn't, because he'll never admit whether he does. I used the analogy today on the midday show when I was on, that it's like a golf swing. When your mind mechanics are automatic and you don't have to think about it, you have a better swing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of put that in the realm of Carson Wentz, who I still think was a good quarterback playing the way he was, but he's better after last week. He's better than that one-year wonder in Dallas, Dak Prescott, even though the people in Dallas are too stupid to realize it. You know, they're fools.
Well, we keep telling them, and they're not listening.
No, they're not listening because they're ignorant anyway, for the most part. They have no clue. Football ignorant. I don't know about their basic intelligence.
They might be or they might not be, but they're football ignorant for sure.
Yeah, they're football ignorant. So, there's a lot of things that are better. Defensively, they're better.
Defensive line play well. The offensive line, Howard, I thought that was their best game as an offensive line unit all season long. And Carson Wentz didn't get sacked once. He was only hit four times. They ran the ball well. The screen game was good. And Jason Kelce, and you mentioned this before during our time on the air, I don't know what the injury's been this year, but Jason Kelce's been off all year, not as good as he was last year. Monday night, he was good.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a toe injury, knee injury. He still wears the brace
thing,
on the elbow,
yeah.
Which he had. But, like guys, there's just something about so many players on that team that are tough guys that try to play through things, and he's one of those. But I always said when people a couple of years ago, and he admitted himself he didn't have a great year, his downfield blocking, and you saw that block on Monday night.
On the Sproles touchdown.
He's just so quick at getting downfield, and the secondary blocking is really good by Jason Kelce. He never stops on a play, and we saw it on Sunday on the Sproles touchdown. Or Sunday on Monday night on the I don't even know what day it is anymore. On Monday night on the Sproles touchdown. So yeah, their offensive lines played better. Their receivers were better as a whole. Golden Tate, it's not that they didn't use him. I'm tired of hearing all that nonsense that work him in the offense.
Well, Monday they used him a lot. He was everywhere. He caught every target.
But he was secondary. He wasn't the primary receiver on, I would say, probably half of those. On the one he caught down the sidelines, the point that I think should be understood, takes a while for two guys to maybe get on the same page. And that was a play when Carson motioned to him, and he understood immediately and went down the field, and Carson made a really good pass down the sideline. So they're kind of understanding each other and what they're doing, and they're working together better. Not that they didn't try to work hard. They feel more comfortable together, and I think that's part of it. But some of those throws, he wasn't the primary receiver. So you have to understand that, but he gets open, and he got some good yards after the catch. So all in all, that's good. The defense is good. Even though Seth Joyner, who has lost touch with the reality of what football is today, and he's the Grinch. He didn't steal Christmas. He's trying to steal the excitement of a win away from Eagles
The
fans.
Only thing Seth Joyner wants under the tree this year are blitzes.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It.
And then he admits in a tweet, the idiot, admits in a tweet that, well, they're not a good blitzing team. Well, then why do you want them to blitz if they're not a good blitzing team? And he challenged Jim Schwartz to say the 90-yard touchdown by Peterson, and Jim Schwartz said it. Yeah, we blitzed on that, and so 90-yard
touchdown. They got caught.
It
was a big hole.
Right. Okay. Well, that wasn't a blitz. Well, the coach just said it was a blitz. Well, I looked at the tape. I don't want to hear it. You know. And then he said that Malcolm Jenkins is not good on the blitz. So he goes back and forth. Seth, once in a while, you got to be happy, brother. You know, just be happy. It's the season to be jolly.
Right, but if he's the Grinch, the Grinch is never happy. It's Christmas time. This is the time for the Grinch.
I'll tell you, he plays the Grinch better than anybody.
Well, that's his role on the show. He's grumpy.
I guess. They gave up one touchdown. Lucky touchdown.
I thought the defense played well on Monday. And
they really did.
Now, part of it, obviously, was Colt McCoy to start the game, and then Mark Sanchez came in to wrap it up.
I don't think Colt McCoy was going to do much.
I don't think so either. But Sanchez is going to do less. Sanchez can't do anything at this point.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, I understand all that. I get all that. But the Redskins don't score a lot of points as the Cowboys don't score a lot of points.
Now, even last week when they won and they beat the Saints, which is a good win by them.
Scored 13 stinking points.
Right. Last week when you were here, we talked about how we thought that game would be close. It was different than I thought. The Cowboys actually won the game. I'm not surprised, though, their defense played well. Their defense is pretty good. The offense, though, Howard, that's part of the reason I'm encouraged. I don't think the Cowboys are going to put up 30 points on Sunday.
I think they only average like 20, 21, right?
If the Eagles can hold that team to 20, 21 points, I think they're going to go down there and walk out with a win.
There is not a chance that the Cowboys put up 30 points.
How many did they put up here when they were here a month ago? 30-ish, 28? What was the score?
28, and it was, I think, weren't there some mistakes at the end there? And there's, I think the turnovers.
And there were big plays. They let a big play run.
And Gruje Hill, who's playing with a cast, I can't knock him for it, had a pick six.
And he dropped
it. Because he had a cast on one hand, it was hard to catch. I get that part of it. But that was a pick six. So that's seven points. And I don't know what the Cowboys, I forget what the Cowboys did on that drive. But
it was 27-20 that game that was here.
Okay, 27-20. They will not score 27 points. You can mark it down. I will guarantee you they will not score 27
well,
points.
Well, if they don't, the Eagles are going to go down there and win the game.
Yeah,
if exactly the Eagles can hold them to the low 20s, mid-20s, and then they're going to win. What did you make of the Camus comments, which has gotten a lot of play here the last day or so? So this was the quote. I mean, if you look at Dallas's history, they always choke, so we'll go down there and make them choke. Camus Grugier Hill.
Well, he's correct. Making them choke is just an opinion, but they do. They've choked a lot over the years. And Dak Prescott's choked a lot. So the reality is, I don't really care that he says it. I have
not afraid of bulletin boards, Hill. Not afraid of the Cowboys,
well,
Howard.
You know what? I spent, when the locker room opened today, I spent the entire time that we're permitted in the locker room, and damn, I looked for that bulletin board, and damn, I couldn't find it.
You were looking
it.
Under lockers, under behind
I'm
shirts.
I'm telling you, I looked everywhere.
So where's the bulletin board?
I tried to get into the shower room, but I'm not permitted
That's
in
where
there.
The bulletin board is.
Maybe.
That's where Sam Bradford had his rah-rah speech in the shower. Remember
and
that whole
one,
thing?
One, yeah, right. And then one media member said, well, they do have a bulletin board because they put up, I guess they diagram some place for special teams and they have it covered when we come in. That's not a bulletin board. That's a marker board. What do you call it?
A whiteboard.
It's a whiteboard. A bulletin board is where you pin up, print something, and you pin it up there.
It sounds
That's
much,
not a bulletin
it
board.
It sounds much stronger if it's a bulletin board. And the whiteboard material, what is that?
Nothing. No, it's just about the special teams. It's nothing. But it's not what they put up there. And Malcolm Jenkins said it, and I said it today with the Midday guys. If you can't, at this point in the season, Cowboys-Eagles is obviously a big game. But it's not early in the season. If you can't get up for a game, that means first place.
It means the Eagles' season. Let's just call it for what it is.
Right. It means first place for both teams. Mm-hmm. Because the Cowboys, if they're hoping that the Eagles will lose to the Rams, that's wonderful. But the Cowboys are going to lose another game after they lose on Sunday as well. So if you can't get up for playing with that, what the hell do you need because somebody says something? Give me a break. I know there's some people... Some players and people in the area said, why do you have to say it? So what?
It didn't bother me. It would have bothered me, Howard, if the Eagles were the favorite. If they were 10-1 and the Cowboys were 500, like, why would you poke the bear? Just go down there and take care of business.
Right.
That's not the case. Right now, the Cowboys are the favorite in this game. They have the better record. They're, in the eyes of many, supposed to win the game. I don't have a problem with Camus talking here. The Cowboys responded today. I like where the Eagles are at right now. They seem like they're confident. They're obviously playing better the last couple weeks. 888-729-9494 is how you get it. Let's grab a phone call here. Dennis is in the Northeast. What's up, Dennis?
What? It wouldn't bother me.
Hey, Dennis, get off the speakerphone there, genius.
Dennis is listening. Dennis, what are you doing, man? Yeah. All right, let's put Dennis on hold and get himself together there, Howard.
Yeah, these guys, he's doing something else while he's listening to us on the phone. He's got the speaker phone on. You can just keep the phone up to your ear there, genius. Actually, if he kept the phone up to his ear,
he would have
heard us directly because it's not delayed when he's on the phone. So now, he's totally not paying
attention. Did you hear, Howard? So today was a big day with the Cowboys responding to Eagles
things.
Yeah,
I did
so
hear that.
We had Dak Prescott responding to Camus. Saying, Jason Garrett has a great saying, and I don't know where he got it from, but winners worry about winning and losers worry about winners. What do you think of that?
And Jason Garrett said it?
So Prescott said that Garrett likes to use that phrase.
Okay, well, if Jason Garrett said it, doesn't mean
anything. Well, what has Jason Garrett ever won?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just, he doesn't worry about anything except keeping his job. I really feel bad when I criticize him because he really is such a nice guy.
Jason Garrett?
Yeah, but he's just an ordinary coach. And he's there because, he'll do everything that Jerry Jones says.
Yeah, Jerry Jones loves him. There's no other way any coach would last there that long. Right. All right, let's grab Matt in Westchester who's ready to talk. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
So I got no problem with the trash talk. First of all, I'm a Cowboys fan.
It's too bad.
Throw that out there. I got no problem with the trash talk from Grugier Hill. I mean, I guess people are upset because he's a backup, but whatever, dude. Like, listen,
he plays enough snaps. They rotate a lot of people. He's had some good games, but whatever. Okay.
Yeah. So it's Cowboys Eagles. Like, you're supposed to talk trash. This is a rivalry. It's supposed to be, people are supposed to get hot and. It is what it is. I don't mind it in the slightest. You guys are talking about the Eagles playing well. I mean, it's hard not to play well or look good coming into a game after you play the Giants and the Redskins playing their third-string quarterback. The concern I have as a Cowboys fan is I don't even know how to feel. Like, I don't like Jason Garrett. I don't love Dak. and this is going to extend that time period. I think the Cowboys are going to win the game pretty handily. I just think our defense is too good.
Well, you think the Cowboys are going to win the game handily?
Handily, yes.
Oh, okay. And how do they do that when they can't score?
We're going to win the game like 23-10. You guys aren't scoring.
Yeah, the Eagles aren't going to be held 10 points.
No, they're not going to be held at 10 points. You are.
We just held the Saints.
Hey, Matt, you're calling from Westchester. Where did you grow up and where are you from?
I was born in New York. I lived in Canada, and I moved here when I was 8 years old.
And where did the Cowboy connection come from?
Canada's team, the Cowboys.
Why does it matter?
No, it does matter. It does matter. It matters to me. Okay, so humor
yeah,
us.
Look at yourself in the mirror.
All right, you want my whole story? Okay, so I lived in Canada. The Cowboys were good at the time. They were on TV all the time, and our best friends were from Dallas. I guess that's why I like them.
That's
a riveting story there, Matt.
Yeah,
we appreciate the call, buddy. And I didn't
knock
need
yourself
any,
out there.
I didn't need any more of the story. Here's the bottom line.
Yeah, but he's, you know, it's like he's a Cowboys fan. And what does he know about the Cowboys other than what he sees on TV?
Yeah, it's just a joke. That's it. That's what he knows. He knows that's they had a good game last week. People are overvaluing the Cowboys right now because they had a good week last week. And the Eagles have not played well for most of the season. But Howard, I look at these teams and I say the Eagles are the better quarterback, better coach, better offensive line. And they're playing well right now. I think they're going to be in this game the whole way, and I think they're going to win it. 888-729.
By the way, when he talks about, you know, the Eagles playing the Giants and the Redskins,
yep.
Well, they played the Redskins, too, with Colt McCoy.
Sure, they played them twice already.
Yeah, the second-string quarterback's no bargain. And they lost to him the first time when they faced their first-string quarterback.
And they played Alex Smith. They did.
Yeah, so they beat the Redskins with their second-string quarterback. They beat the Saints. It looks like a good win, but I think the Saints had they had to kind of fall down a little bit, and we know that they almost lost to the Falcons. They had to win on, the field goal at the end of the game?
Yeah, that was a very close game, back and forth, and that Falcons team's not any good.
No, they're not any good. So, I mean, come on, let's be real here, okay? Let's be real.
Yeah, we're not going to get carried away. No team in this division is great. That's the whole point. That's why this division has been up for grabs all year long. It's why no one can run away with this division, and it's why I don't believe the Cowboys are going to run away and just basically, Howard, if the Cowboys win Sunday, it's over. The Cowboys will, for all intents and purposes, have won the division. They'll have swept the Eagles, and they'll be two up with three to play. It would basically be over if the Eagles lose. But
yes,
if the Eagles win, they're
because the tie would go to the Cowboys.
Right, and there's only three games left. But they're in the driver's seat, the Eagles, if they win this game. It flips like that.
Well, they, as the saying goes, they control their own destiny.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and even if they lose to the Rams,
which I think they will,
they can win the last two games, and I think the Cowboys are going to lose another game this season.
So the Cowboys go to Indianapolis next week, and then the Cowboys' last game of the season is in New York against the Giants. I wouldn't be shocked if they lost that game.
No, I wouldn't be shocked if they looked to Indianapolis. Remember, Frank Reich's coached against them two times a year.
And the Colts have Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a better quarterback in that game. Let's grab a phone call. Tony is in Northeast Philly. What's up, Tony?
Hold on. Let me get you off for my headphones.
Okay.
Yes. Hold on.
There we go, Tony.
All right. I you know what? I want to talk about what nobody. I haven't heard anybody mention this about the Saints game. Just from beginning to end, if I didn't know any better, I would say that game was fixed. The Saints gave them that game. Their whole game plan was just stupid from the beginning. And the Cowboys still tried to hand them the game like five times.
Well, what was their game plan? I mean, their game plan is what they do all the time, but Drew Brees didn't have a good game. That was their game.
I mean, they opened up pass. They didn't even try and run the ball to open up the first series. The receivers couldn't catch. They couldn't catch a single pass. They couldn't drop a pass against us. Like, it's just apples and oranges. You can't even look at that game and compare it to it, really.
Well, they did beat the Saints, so you give them credit for that, but they only scored 13 points, and that's not going to get it done most weeks.
No.
Yeah, look, they had a very good game last week, and they deserve credit for that one. Tony, we appreciate the call. But, Howard, I'm not fearing the Cowboys because they had one good game. They had one really, really good game, and their defense is good. I will give them credit for that. They have a good defense, and on Sunday, Howard, I think Carson Wentz showed some good things on Monday, and if he does that again, the Eagles will score points. They can't afford to have turnovers in the red zone this week.
Remember, broken clocks right twice a day. So the Cowboys won a game?
They won.
Yeah,
they played well.
Yeah. I mean, mistakes happen.
And they have a good defense. That's the extent I'll give them. It's good. And if the Eagles play like they did Monday, they have a really good chance to win. And if they don't turn the ball over in the red zone, they're going to win this game. 888-729-9494. We'll come back, all your phone calls, and we have some new information. Real information?
Real information. It's not speculative.
All right, real info on Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, just to kind of lay it all out.
That's all coming up next.
I am not a peasant.
Right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The shot for Merrill there at the end. Pumpkin pie.
That was yellow. Merrill doesn't know the color of pumpkin pie.
The voice is there, of course, of Golden Tate, of Howard, of Merrill Reese from the game the other night.
Well, you missed the part where he said, I'm on point, look good. He likes the way I dress.
Oh, I thought he meant he liked your points, like when you're making points.
No.
On point with your dress?
You know, but he likes banana pudding, so it was probably on his mind.
Listen.
For Thanksgiving dinner, and he went to another player's
house.
Is that
the first time with your game day outfits you've been compared to some sort of dessert or food? Or does this happen a lot?
No, it doesn't happen a lot. It's all good. It doesn't matter. So he had a little fun. I'm okay with it. And he does like banana pudding because that's what his wife made to take over to the guest house.
How about that? We're learning more about Golden Tate, and he's coming off his best game as an Eagle.
And did you see? I told him I'd give him a banana pudding, and I gave him Jell-O Instant.
I saw that.
Banana pudding, and he put it up in his locker.
Listen, if he makes 7 catches on Sunday and they win, then he's going to be sent a whole crate of banana pudding by the fans in the city. 888-729-9494. Joe Giglio, Howard Banana Pudding, Eskin, and you guys with us. And we have the info, new info on Markelle Fultz coming up. Frank in Philadelphia is up. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Frank.
Hey, that call from Canada about Dallas is the funniest. Yeah, Howard, I got all respect from you. I met you back in the day with the Eagles, you know, Jerome back there. But
Jerome Brown, I'm sure you're talking about. What's that?
From a Canadian that's a Dallas fan.
Well, he lives in he lives in Westchester.
Yeah,
now,
he just grew up in Canada for some point.
Yeah, he left when he was 8 years old. But it's just to be a Cowboys fan and you're so far removed. He's probably never been there.
Exactly. And I was at the Eagles game on Christmas Day in Dallas, supporting my Eagles stuff on the visitor side. You know, I got tortured on that. But, well, go Birds, man.
You got it, Frank.
That's good, Frank.
Let's talk to Wade. Wade is going to bring it here. What's up, Wade?
What? What's up, fellas? How y'all?
We're good, Wade. What's going on?
Then?
Hear me?
Wade, you going to be all right?
Yo. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
What?
Yeah, we got you now.
This is Wade, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
What's up? How y'all feeling?
Oh, good.
All right.
What?
Here's one of my... Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello?
Go ahead, Wade.
Hello, it's Wade, what? Right? Wade, it's Wade. Okay, great, go ahead. Let it roll.
All right. My point is that I want to make is about Carson Wentz. This is a big game for him because, and for us as an organization and as fans, because Carson Wentz hasn't beat a team with a winning record since the Carolina game. We need him to be able to show us that he can actually carry this team to a victory. Because he's coming up on a $160 million contract, and if he doesn't win this game, it'll be without ever playing a playoff game, and a quarterback that's not known to beat good teams. He struggles with good defensive fronts. That's my, issue with him. So I need him to, to actually grow up in this game and get better.
Well, he's going to be going up against a good defensive front. Wait, I will say this about Carson, you and I have talked about him a lot this year. This is the biggest game of Carson Wentz's career. There's really no other way around it. He had a rookie season when it, was what it was. Last year he played very well, but he was out by the time the games got super, super big. This is the biggest game of Carson Wentz's career on Sunday.
Yeah, I believe so. And you know what else I wanted to make one quick point? We actually, as an organization, we had our cake and we could eat it too. We actually broke a cardinal rule, which is we went on and changed something that wasn't broken. And I think that we should have allowed Carson Wentz to get healthy from that injury and get back to learning the position. And we could have kept Nick Foles at the starting quarterback until,
Wait.
That was just my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, but they were never going to not play a healthy Carson Wentz. We appreciate it.
I mean, we all love what Nick Foles. He will go down in history forever. In Eagles history, and be remembered by people forever.
And he played a great game.
Played it unbelievable, better than Carson Wentz could have probably played in that game.
You really couldn't have played much better than any quarterback could have played much better than he did that day.
But the reality is, you know, Carson Wentz is your quarterback, and when he was ready, he was ready. He needed to play.
Yeah, I do agree with Wade that we haven't seen him in many big games. It's been the nature of his career. Rookie year was what it was. Last year, they were front-running because they were so good. The games really weren't that big each week.
I think he would have won the Rams game. That was a big game, but he got hurt.
He got hurt.
After he threw a touchdown with a torn ACL.
Stood there, and he was grimacing, and his face was bright red. Like you knew something was off about him. Yep. But, yeah, he never had the chance to really play in the big games last year. This is his game. Let's talk to... Let's grab John in Delaware. What's up, John?
By the way, just remember, he won a lot of games.
Sure.
Whether they were big games.
Yeah, they didn't have the feel of a big game. Yeah, he won a ton. What's up, John?
Oh, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm concerned about one thing, and I think I know it'll probably keep the Eagles in the game, and that's that Salvation Army pot. If those Cowboys start jumping in that thing and, getting the celebration penalties, I really think it's going to keep the Eagles in the game.
That's you're worried about the Salvation Army pot penalties?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah, like, come on now. Zeke.
It's got me concerned. I've been worried about it all week.
Zeke Elliott got fined $13,000.
I'm afraid the defensive guys are going to want to jump in it, too.
Yeah, you got to be more afraid for your quarterback, John, because he's not very good.
What's wrong with you?
John, just try to just calm down. Sunday will get here soon enough.
What?
We're on a roll tonight, Howard. Let's see what
Jack
Ray and Mount Laurel say.
Jack's out of control.
What's up, Ray?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Ray. What's
good,
going
how
on?
Are you?
I actually know where he got that quote from. It's a Conor McGregor quote that Dak Prescott put out. It says, losers focus on winners, winners focus on winning.
So he stole it from Conor McGregor?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't steal it. Jason Garrett stole it.
Jason Garrett's a fraud as a coach.
Yeah, right.
And as a guy who gets
quotes.
How
about that? He stole it.
Yeah, that's not an original quote. It's a book that's out. You actually can go on Amazon Prime and buy it for $7.99.
I'm right there. I'm right there.
Howard's ordering it right now. Ray, what else is on your mind tonight?
I think the Eagles are, Carson, I see a lot of good things. I mean, he's still got, a little room for improvement, but every week he's been getting better, especially the last 2 weeks, especially with the run game and everything.
Monday, certainly, Ray. Monday, I thought, was his best game. He had the interception and he missed a couple guys, and we appreciate it, Ray. And Howard, we talked about that, but... The one thing he did on Monday we didn't see all year was he moved. He moved out of the pocket. They rolled him out.
The touchdown pass to Tate, to Golden Tate.
That looked like last year where he just bought time and he kind of improvised. We hadn't seen that much this season.
No, and he just – you could tell he was moving around like before, but it's about a year now. So maybe
it's a year this week.
He feels consciously, unconsciously, whatever, he feels better. But I think he's comfortable in some situations, but when the offensive line plays like that, why wouldn't he be more comfortable?
Just a different quarterback when he uses his legs. He's good enough from the pocket, but he's not a special thrower of the football. It's not like you're watching Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady where they're going to pick you apart from the pocket. But Howard, when he gets outside and he moves and he improvises, it's very hard to defend that guy.
Yeah, he's very good. He's very good. I don't think there's no other way you can say it. And anybody that thinks that the guy in Dallas is better than Carson Wentz.
It's ridiculous.
Clueless. Yeah, it's totally clueless.
Yeah, he's an average to a little below average quarterback, and the Eagles have to take advantage of that on Sunday. Stop the run and make him try to beat you. Maurice is in Haddonfield. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, great. Maurice. What's up?
Good. I completely agree. I think Eagles have been getting significantly better. I love to see Adams running the ball. Carson's mobility has been awesome lately. My big concern, though, is with Dallas' defense. I mean, they're just a nasty group. They got a lot of depth, a lot of quickness. And I just think that if the Eagles are going to have a chance, they got to get a lot of short passes going, get Tate involved, get some of the running backs involved.
Hey, let me just, people get caught up. Golden Tate's a very good receiver.
Very good.
But you get them all involved. You want to get – I have no problem with going to Ertz because it's successful when you pass to him. Alshon Jeffrey's a really good receiver. They don't have a real speed guy. Jordan Matthews has done a better job than I think even they thought he could do. So the running backs, Corey Clement looked last week like, and he could always catch the football, did a nice job. Josh Adams getting better at catching the football, and he does a nice job at that.
Sproles is back now, a little help there.
I don't think you need to get anybody more involved. You just need to be, and I'm talking about Golden Tate. That's fine if he gets involved, but the passes to him last week weren't all, he wasn't the primary target, I would say, and maybe close to half of them. So,
but he made something happen, him
but
and
he
Carson.
Made something happen. When a receiver's out there and the quarterback can extend plays and the receiver never quits on trying to get open, that's a good thing. And that's what they did last week.
Yeah, I think we're at the point now, Maurice, we appreciate it, man. I think we're at the point now, Howard, with their offense where you realize Zach Ertz is the primary target and then everyone else, it could be anybody each week. It could be Golden Tate 1 week. It could be a running back that gets four catches another week. It could be Alshon.
Well,
Ertz is their primary target.
Well, he's primary, but who's going to cover him? Unless they double him, there's nobody on the other team on the positions that have to cover the tight end that can cover him.
He's their best weapon.
And he's got really good hands. He does a really, really good job. So if they can't cover him, what's wrong with throwing it to him?
Howard, I made this comparison a month and a half ago. He reminds me, as his career goes on, of what Tony Gonzalez used to be. 8 yards to 12 yards, he's uncoverable. He catches everything.
Yes, he does.
He's become one of the better tight ends. He's having the best season of any tight end in the NFL.
He's really, clearly, he's really good. And if I had to rank Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz would be 1A. We know Travis Kelce is really good because he's probably a little stronger, and he can probably get more yards after the catch. Although this year Zach Ertz is getting more yards after the catch, but he's 1A. I mean, it's those two.
And Gronk when he's healthy, but he's rarely healthy.
But he's not healthy this year. So Zach Ertz is 1A to Travis Kelce, and in some cases, depending on the team and the game, you probably would rather have Zach Ertz, even though they're both really, really, really good.
He's going to end this year as the most catches of any tight end in any season ever.
Yeah.
And he's going to have more catches through his first 6 years of any tight end that's ever played in the NFL. It is an amazing start to his career. All right, we'll get back to the phone calls in a minute here, but Howard, give us the latest info you have here on Markelle Fultz. Real info?
Real info, because, I mean, I've obviously checked with people that understand what's going on here. It's not speculation. It's not speculation that it's a phony injury. First, let's start.
I am not a peasant.
No, I'm not. Let's start with the agent. Remember last year he said that he had his shoulder drained?
Yes.
And then he had to say, well, he didn't.
It was a cortisone shot.
The agent apparently lied. I say apparently lied. And then he recanted on that. And at that point, the Sixers were angry, and they said they had an agreement. They were supposed to have an agreement. You talk to us before you go to the media. Well, he went to ESPN two more times. So that creates a bad, bad situation. The reason he goes to the media is he wants to put out his own narrative. But here is the narrative. Brett Brown said he shot 150,000 shots last year, posted videos. I was told he came to camp and said he feels great. This TOS, it's not an injury. It's a condition. Is very, very difficult to diagnose. And a lot of cases, you just eliminate a lot of things and say, well, it must be TOS. So it's really just excluding other things when you diagnose them. And they went to enough doctors, and finally the doctor said, well, this is what it is. All right, here's what could cause TOS. An extra rib in your body, which some people are born with. He doesn't have that. Blood clots. He doesn't have that. Nerve damage. He doesn't have that. Discoloration in different parts of his body. He doesn't have that. The Sixers have talked to Markel, and they have treated him for what he said feels where he feels discomfort. And those are the things that he's told these doctors. It's the same thing. So he's already gotten treatment for that. But when he said he felt great, that's these things, and the other thing that I was told, this condition doesn't happen all of a sudden. He played 25 minutes the week before, and the next week he was benched the second half.
Then for
all
TJ,
of a sudden, this condition doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a long period of time.
So it's either he didn't have it or he had it forever and they missed it.
Well, no. He had no symptoms last year. He said it himself. He had no symptoms. And when he started to say, well, I feel this in my shoulder and whatever, he got treatment for it. It's a condition. This is what's interesting. It's a condition, I'm told, is based on complaints. But it's not really, you can't really have a diagnosis for this. So he complained. The reality is there's a feeling that it will never end because when he comes back, I would say when, if he has a bad game, he's going to say he has it. That's not the way it works. So the reality is it's not a condition. Again, don't call it an injury. It's a condition. It's not an injury. And it is very, very, very difficult to diagnose. And he had none of the prerequisites that determine that he has TOS. So it's just like a doctor saying, all right, we'll just give us something. All right,
well, that's what they went to 10 doctors until they found this.
But
and
the
and
Sixers
here we
are livid, and they should be.
Of course they should be. They went to Adrian Wojnarowski, but that's how we found out.
And this, that they have treated him for everything he said where he said he didn't feel good. But remember, he told us, the media, that he's fine. He told the Sixers that he was fine. He shot 150,000 shots. And again, it doesn't happen overnight. That's what Drip, which we know is ridiculous.
Yep.
But he shot a lot of shots and put up the video. And he came to camp and told everybody he was fine.
And he's fine when he shoots mid-range shots.
Yeah.
He's fine when he dunks
great.
The ball.
Yeah.
It looks
fine.
Great.
Yeah. It's just, it's bogus.
Yeah, and the
it's
Sixers.
It's a joke and a laughing stock.
Have been behind this kid and supported him and given the benefit of the doubt for the whole time. And now it's gotten to the point.
And here's my,
it's ridiculous.
Here's my opinion. Not, this other stuff I've gotten from people. My opinion is when he comes back, and he's got to come back at some time, if he has a bad game, and you know that's going to happen.
Sure.
He's going to say, yeah, you know what? I'm feeling it again.
Well, you
so
know
he
what?
He always has an out. But now it makes it literally impossible to trade him because you could get rid of him if he didn't have a contract next year.
But now he's $10 million. No one's going to want to take that. It's a joke. 888-729-9494, #9494 to hop on in. We'll come back, all your phone calls, and we will officially say goodbye on the evening show to Carlos Santana.
Oh, should we have a ceremony?
A party?
Should we have him a going away party?
I would love to.
Yeah, okay.
You want to walk there? We'll walk together. 888-729-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Whoopee. Wait a minute. So he hits a home run. He was good at that. Hitting a home run when the pitcher's just trying to throw strikes. And it was an irrelevant
home
run.
Can you pay a moment of respect? The man helped bring the Phillies Gene Segura. He helped bring the Phillies Gene Segura.
He helped bring him one of the worst, if not the worst record from August on to the end of the season.
The funny part
in
is,
the history of
the
baseball.
The funniest part is he was one of the only ones that hit the last month and a half. They didn't win, but he actually, that was his best month and a half.
Sits there and just waits. Say, can I get a walk?
Walks
I get a walk?
And doubles and
people
home
sit
runs.
There. You can go up, wait in line, get a hot dog, come back, and he's still at the end. He's still batting.
I'm not worried about the time. I'm worried about the results.
Yeah, there was no, the results of Phillies scored three or less runs more than anybody
not
in baseball.
Not his fault. Not Carlos's fault.
He's the driving
runs. Let's put it this way. It was a good trade. They had to make the trade.
It was a really good trade.
Segura
J.P. Crawford, and I told everybody he was a stiff, too.
Yeah, you were right about that, but I'm not done with him. He has a lot of time left in his career
good.
To
okay.
prove it different.
I'm happy for him, too.
Good trade. I would have made the trade, too.
Yeah.
The problem was that this is the biggest problem. Reese Hoskins obviously couldn't play left field. Klentak thought he could.
Couldn't play well enough, but how many guys defensively could play well in the positions
None,
they played?
None, but he was really bad out there.
Wasn't bad. He was a little below average, maybe.
Oh,
field.
I think he was bad.
Okay.
But they had to make the move. They had to get Reese out of left field.
And back to what his position
is.
Yes,
and it makes the team a better team.
But not according to Matt Klentak after the season when he said he thought he had a great
year.
Well,
if he knew he was going to trade him, what is he supposed to tell you?
He had 225.
229.
229,
and
excuse me.
He had a good on base, and he has home runs.
229.
He was exactly the player I said he was, a good player.
I want good a guy player. That drives in runs.
Yes, you do. Well, that's not Gene Segura, but he'll get hits.
But he's not at a position that you need to drive in runs.
What he is, he's a good player.
So you need another outfielder to drive in runs.
I'm just saying, did you see Carlos Santana's goodbye to Philadelphia Instagram?
No, I didn't.
He respected this fan base much more than their fan base liked him. He loved it here.
What does he have to say? Good.
He said, thank you so much for my time here. I loved playing for this city. And maybe I'll see you guys in the World Series.
And thanks for covering, Matt Klentak, thanks for covering my ass.
No, he did say that. All right, back to the phone lights here. Now that we made sure, a little appreciation towards Carlos Santana.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, I'll miss him. Vinny's in Wilmington. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
How you doing?
What's up, Vinny? What's going on?
I'm doing fine. Listen, I got a little problem. You were talking earlier about, you know, fans from Dallas fans from this area and all that. Well, my girlfriend is a Niners fan.
It's all right.
Now, I know we don't hate the Niners like we do Dallas. So I'm wondering if that makes a big difference.
No.
Because
we don't play the 49ers much. What, maybe 3 or 4 years, yeah. Depending on where they finish.
Something like that.
You're going to have to just deal with this, Vinny. What are you going to do?
It's all right.
Well, she was born and raised South Jersey. You know,
yeah, but we don't hate the 49ers. So it's okay. We don't hate the 49ers.
The ruling here, Vinny, is you shouldn't leave her, all right?
Yeah.
Don't do anything silly here, Vinny.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Hey, Vinny,
okay.
I got a question for you. I assume, and I shouldn't assume this, and don't take it out of disrespect. Are you Italian?
No.
Are you Italian?
Pardon me?
Are you Italian?
Yes.
Okay. Do you like Cheese Whiz?
I like it in certain areas, but not on a steak. No.
What? Cheese Whiz is a South Philly scam, but thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, we appreciate it. We're just trying to set that up to make sure everyone knows that it's a South Philly scam. Let's see what we got here.
Go ahead.
I just want to grab Stretch from King of Prussia because he said Seth Joyner's preaching at his church on Sunday. What's up here, Stretch?
Hey, how you doing, Joe? Thank you for Howard taking my call.
Stretch. What's going on?
I wasn't able to call you during the baseball season, but I'm a Gabe guy, I'm a Joe Giglio guy, and I'm a Sonny Hill guy.
How about that?
Yes.
That's a trifecta. Joe Giglio guy,
wow.
Gabe Kapler guy, Sonny Hill guy.
Are you in your living room there, Stretch?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay.
Reverend Seth Joyner is preaching up at Second Baptist Church in Pottstown Sunday, Howard.
Tell him I said hi.
Yes.
And tell the Grinch to smile just once in a while.
Well, I wanted you and Eagle Shirley to come up and say amen when he finishes the sermon.
That sounds like a time here, Stretch.
Where do the Eagles play on Sunday?
It's going to be Jefferson and Adams. That's where the church is at. So.
Yeah, but where do the Eagles play Sunday? They play in Dallas, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's where I'm going to be.
So Howard's busy this Sunday. Here's what we're going
to
do, Stretch.
Tell him to Skype me.
Stretch, we appreciate it. I love when you call. I think we got to make this happen one day. You, Eagles Shirley, Stretch, Seth Joyner. At his church.
And Seth would be the only one that'd be complaining.
Yeah, of course he would.
Yeah, that's all he does. That's all he does.
Well, he's usually
Eagles
upset.
Could win 47-7.
That's his.
How the hell did they give up that touchdown?
That's his role on that show. He's the
Grinch.
Yeah, the angry guy. He's the angry ex-player.
He ain't stealing my Christmas.
We're not going to let him do it. All right, last one with Howard here. Barry's on the cell. What's up, Barry?
Yes, thanks for taking my phone call. I've practiced medicine for 42 years, and I'm retired, and I agree with Howard that I don't buy it for 1 minute that Fultz has thoracic outlet syndrome. However, I want to ask a couple questions. Number one, if a person does have thoracic outlet syndrome, there's got to be compromise either to the circulation or to the nervous-type system. If there's compromise to the circulation, either arterial or venous, what's going to happen is the hands are going to be blue or the hands are going to swell up. And
Barry, you heard me say there's a discoloration.
Right. So here's my question. I want to know if indeed, Howard, you had access, just to satisfy my curiosity, they should have done Doppler studies, which is an ultrasound, of both venous and arterial. And if they were normal, that would have ruled out compression to the
He went to 497,000 doctors.
Someone should have found this, Barry. We appreciate it. And I get where Barry's going.
And the problem is, Barry, and I know we're up against it here, and that's part of the problem, but I'd like to understand it maybe at another time when we have more time. But the reality is none of the things that I'll just say TOS, thoracic outlet. What is that? Do you get a cheaper price on the outlet stores there? It's just
Three for 10.
None of those things happened. None of those things. And that's why it's like, well, I think, and I don't know the doctor, and we'll probably never know the doctor. I understand that the Sixers know who the doctor is because they have to speak to him. So, but the reality is he just came up. It's just like, well, it must be this. And that's a joke. And let me just say one more thing about the 76ers. I am proud to say that last night I had as many foul shots as Ben Simmons had in, what, 34 minutes. I shot as many foul shots in an NBA game as Ben Simmons had last night.
Pretty impressive.
That's zero. How does a point guard not have a foul shot?
Because he doesn't. Well, we know this. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to go to the free throw line as much as he should.
Right, because you want to get. It's unbelievable. It is truly.
It was a bad night. It was a bad night.
Yeah, but that's what he is.
No, it's a bad night for a lot of them. Joel didn't play well last night. He looks gassed.
Well, I told you he's three players from the bottom in foul shooting percentage in the fourth quarter.
So you're at the bottom. You're last, and he's three players from
you.
Well,
I'm not far behind him.
You're last. I'll put it that way. All right, Howard. We'll hear you on Saturday.
That is correct.
The Borgata?
That is correct as well.
All right, Howard. We'll be listening on Saturday. Howard will be back with us next Tuesday, and we'll be back on the other side. But first, if you haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet, now is the perfect time because FanDuel Sportsbook is offering a $500 risk-free bet. That's a $500 bet completely risk-free. Not sure what to use your $500 risk-free bet on. I take a look at Indy at Houston. That is a game I'll be playing on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Houston hasn't lost since week three. They're on a roll. And don't forget, you can place a $500 risk-free bet on Indy at Houston when you use my promo code GILIO, G-I-G-L-I-O. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is only available in New Jersey. You can download the app, deposit, and check out the lines from anywhere, but you'll only be able to place bets in the Garden State, which is where I do it. And I'm always playing my parlays on Sunday mornings. And just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to bet from anywhere in New Jersey. Sign up with promo code GILIO and make your first bet on any money line, spread, prop, or whatever you want. If you lose, FanDuel Sportsbook will give you a refund and site credit of up to $500. So download FanDuel Sportsbook now and claim your $500 risk-free bet before it's too late.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.